Today's shir is Masechta Nida Daf Tezayin, and we will begin 9 lines from the bottom, Vakati, of Tezvav and Beis. Vakati Ein Tzofik Moitz Medei Vadai. At the end of our previous shir, we discussed that a husband could assume his wife is Tahar, only in a situation where he doesn't know for sure that she became Tameh. And because she doesn't know that became Tameh, we have a Sfek Sveika. Number one, did she become Tameh? Did she not become Tameh? And even if she became Tameh, perhaps she had an opportunity to go to the mikvah and become Tahar. But what that clearly implies, the Gemara said, is that we know for sure she became Tameh, that unless he knows for sure that she is Tahar, he can't have relations with her. Because the suffix that she may still be Tameh the suffix that she went to the mikveh doesn't overcome the vadai that she was Tameh. So Gemara asked, is that indeed the halacha? At the end of the previous year, we spoke about a case with Truma and a Chaver, and the Gemara was able to answer it. But again, we begin today's year. Vakati ein suffix moitz midei vadai. Is that indeed the halacha? That wherever we have a suffix, the vada is stronger. And as again we explained in yesterday's shir, of course, all the Rishonim explain that a vada is stronger than a suffix. But the Gemara means to ask is, even when there's strong backing to assume that one side of the suffix, it's still not as strong as a vada. For Tanya, have we not learned the following brayse maisa b'shiv chosoy shomasik echad berimen? There was a story with the Shifcha Knanis of a person, Algirs is Masik. Masik means that he was involved in collecting olives. There is another Girsa of a Matzik, with a Tzadik. Matzik means that he was a very strong person. And in a moment we'll see what the nafkamina between these two Peshatim are. Shetila Nefilabar, that she unfortunately had a miscarriage. Ubar Kain Vahetzitzba, and a kohen came to examine, laydim zocha in the kever, to know if that child was a boy or a girl. For we know that the halacha is that by a boy, you are tamei no matter what for 7 days. The woman is tamei no matter what for 7 days. And then she's tamei no matter what for 33 days. And again, midaraisa. And by a girl, everything doubles, 14 days of tumah, 66 days of tahara. So he came to check this child. So there's a number of points to be made. One is, the Pesach want to say, from here we see that the din of Tumatari even implies by Shifcha Knanis. Because the Gemara says there was a child of Shifcha Knanis. There are those that say it's not a raya, because they say it wasn't her child, it was her owner's child, and the owner was Jewish. We don't have a raya what the status of the child of Shifcha Knanis is regarding Tumatara. Similarly, there's a Magen Avraham that discusses the halacha of does a nafel require a full-fledged kavura? And from this Gemara, it seems that a nafel does not require a full-fledged kavura, because the Gemara says it was just put into a bar. There are those that say that that isn't a raya either. Number one, they want to suggest that putting Rachman Tzlan, the nafel, in the bar is a kavura. And there are others that say that it was such a disintegrated nafel, that there certainly isn't a kvura. But when you have a full-fledged nafel, kvura is required. But the most obvious question, which all the Rishonim, Rashi and all the Rishonim are very troubled with, is how could you have a situation that a kohen is checking, and we're going to see maybe he became tamei. Which kohen would agree to do this? So one pshat that the Mefarshim suggest goes back to what I said a moment ago. There was a matzik. He was a very tough boss. And the kohen was scared of him. He had no choice to do it, even though he shouldn't have. Another pshat that I saw is that he was a relative. Doesn't really make sense to Mefarshim say, because the halacha is that even though a kohen is allowed to become tamei to a relative, he's only allowed to become tamei to a relative that wasn't a nafel. A nafel that then doesn't apply. Another pshat that the Mefarshim suggest is that this kohen was the owner of this shivcha, and he wanted to know this tum and tahara status in his home. also a difficult pshat. Just because he needs to know the Tumah Taharah in his home doesn't mean that he has a right to become Tamei. Another pshat that's suggesting that he was a Rav. Rashi's first pshat. Difficult pshat. A Rav is not supposed to do what's wrong just because he has to pass Kachayelitz. Then Rashi suggests a pshat that this Kayin wanted to know when this woman's Tahara days will be over, because we know that a woman, when she finishes her Tahara days, brings Kabbonis. We'll speak about them to the Beis HaMikdash, and he wanted to know who would be in the Mishma that he's working, that he could get a share of those Kabbonis. Two problems with that pshat. One problem with that is, all that the Kohen has available from the Kabbonis that a woman brings is the skin of the Karbon Oila, which is not very valuable. And number two, even if a woman come out in the week that it's his Mishmer, the halach is that the woman is not obligated to bring her Karbon on day 80 by a girl or day 40 by a boy. Afterwards, she can bring a Karbon. So if he was so anxious to get the Karbon, he could have managed that she should bring it when he'll be doing the Avoida. Rashi says another pshat that the coin here was an Amoritz or a cotton. But the bottom line issue here is that he bent over this pit to look at the child. And if the child was Tamei, he would become now Tamei because of Tumas oil. The situation came to Chum, and they said that the coin is Tahar. Weasels, bears were very common in that area, and therefore we could assume that the Nephil was dragged away. Ask the Gemara. Let's think about it. V'hocha, v'adei tila Nephil. She certainly put a Nephil into that pit. Yes, there's a Sofik or Rua, that perhaps the animals dragged away that Nephil. A Sofik like a Rua, or perhaps it was not dragged away. Yet, the Bryce is paskening. The cost of suffix, that suffix is enough to keep the Kayin Tahor, answers the Gemara. Don't say that it was certainly a Nephil put into the bar. It wasn't really a developed child. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that that's what the Bryce is discussing? Doesn't the Bryce clearly indicate that it was a Nephil, and all that he needed to do was to identify the gender? Says Marhafikam, this is the way to understand the Braisa. Uba Kain Behetzispa, the Kain came to examine, Im Nephil Apila, Im Ruch Apila, was it a Nephil or not a Nephil? Vim Tim Tzalim Nephil Apila, and even if it was a Nephil, later Im Zacham Nekeva. If once we know it's a Nephil, you want to know its gender. So as the Rishonim explain, it's a Svek Sveka. And the Rishonim go on to say, because I have a question. Where exactly was this bar? If the bar was in Rosh Hashanah, so we've said many times that Loch is Saftum Rosh Hashanah, is Tahor. If it's a Rosh Hashanah, we've said many times that Saftum Rosh Hashanah is Tamei. So the Mefarshim explain, the Nada we've established, that this price is referring to a situation of Svek Sveika. A Svek Sveika, the Halochi is, that even a Saftum Rosh Hashanah is Tahor. That's one way of understanding the Braisa. Vibai Seima, another way of understanding, Kivin the Chaldo Badlus Mitzvim Sham, it was a place where these animals were very common, so it's not a Suffolk if the Nephil was dragged away, it's a Vadei Gerua, and that's why we can be Matar the Koyin. So it's not a Suffolk in a Vadei, it's a Vadei in a Vadei. We begin a new sugya, an issue that we've discussed. One of the most fundamental halachas of Hilchos Nidah Vestas, which we've discussed, that when a woman expects a period, she has a veset. As we've discussed, there's a veset kavua, that a woman has a specific time that she expects to see her period, and there's a veset she'ena kavua by women who do not have a specific time, what the halach by them is. There's a machloikas, which is going to be the subject of the balance of most of this amid. If Vestas the Reis and Vestas the Rabbonim. The Nafkamina Vestas the Reis or Vestas the Rabbonim is, if Vestas the Reis, the Aloch is that she has to check herself, and we'll speak more during the time of the Veset, and if she checks herself after the Veset, even if she finds herself to be Tar, she has to be Tamei. We have to be concerned that there was a Riyah during the Veset. Vestas Rabbanon, as long as she checks herself during the Veset, after the Veset, and she finds herself Tahar, we could say that she still is Tahar. The Mefarshim ask a very fundamental question. According to the opinion that holds Vestas Daraisa, according to the opinion of Vestas Daraisa, we've said from the beginning of our Masechta that Midaraisa, a woman, is only Tummy if she had a Riyah with a Hargosha. So how can you say Vestas Daraisa, and just because her time came, she's probably Tummy, there was no Hargosha. She didn't have any sensation. So the Achroinim, the Rosh Hashulchan, the Chazanish say, well, we have to assume the man Dama holds Vestas Daraisa, holds that she did have a Hargosha, but she didn't feel it. Like we learned at the beginning of Masechta, when a woman goes to urinate, she could confuse and think that she had that it's the sensation is from using the washroom, when actually it was the Hargosha of a discharge. On the other hand, the Mefarshim ask that the Man Domina holds Vestas to Rabbanon, isn't that contrary to everything we've ever learned? What is a Veset? As we've been learning, how is a Veset established? A Veset establishes if a woman has a pattern. She sees on every month on a certain date, or she sees at a very specific interval. One of the most fundamental halachas, and we'll speak about this more in our Masechta, in Shas is Chazakah. A shah hamud, a din d'oraisa. We all learned Masech Babakama. How does a shah become a mood if it was noigeach three times? So if a woman has a riyah three times on the same date, why should that be any different? So one teretz that's given is that for the reason that we just learned. A tumma without a riyah without hargosha is not considered a riyah to make a woman tamei. And here there was no hargosha. Another teretz is that this woman has a cheskes tahara. And therefore that cheskes tahara prevails. Which in fact one could suggest that the machloikis of Vestas the Reis and Vestas the Rabbanon is over the issue of a chazaka asui l'shtanis. Yes, a woman has a cheskes tahara. But that cheskes tahara doesn't give her, it's going to change. She's going to ultimately become a nida. So the man domino holds Vestas Daraisa and says, you can't follow Cheskes Tahara, that's Asui L'shtanis. The man domino holds Vestas Rabbanon says, you could follow even a Chazaka, Hasui L'shtanis. Another way of understanding the man domino that holds Vestas Rabbanon is that since a woman's period is influenced by so many different factors, it's not just a certain date, it's her health, her environment, her mental state. So you can't just say, because a woman has a chazaka that she saw on a certain date, that means it will always be that way, because we know there are different things that cause a woman's cycle to change. Her age, pregnancy, nursing, etc. One more pshat that I saw is, what does a chazaka accomplish? We mentioned the case of a sharamud. So what does the chazaka accomplish by a sharamud? What the chazaka accomplishes by a sharamud is, it defines the animal. This animal is a negeach. A woman, when she has a period, it doesn't define the woman. It's the experience that she's experiencing, but doesn't define who she is. So that's why it's not a good comparison. The Rishayim and the Noida Behuda speaks about this extensively. Says that when we have a discussion that we're about to begin, Be'ezer Hashem, and our sugya about Vestas, it's not regarding the isser for a husband to have relations with his wife during a Veset. That's a pasuk. Vezatim is bnei Yisrael. From there we learn that mikan shiyafushim is the same son mechlevestim, that they can't have relations during the time of the veset. The discussion in our Gemara explained the Noida Behuda is regarding the chi bedika that we discussed at the beginning in our introductory remarks. So begins the Gemara by minei Merav Nachman. They ask Rav Nachman, Vestas deraisa or the rabbanon? The concept of Vestas is a deraisa or the rabbanon. Amalu, so he responded. If a woman has a veset, now the time of the vesta comes, she doesn't make an examination, and then ultimately she does have ria, on one hand we have to be concerned that the ria is when she became tamei. On the other hand, we have to assume that she became Tamei already from the time of her Vesta. Alma, for what does obviously Rav hold? The Vesta's the Raisa. And therefore, if she saw them now, we say she probably saw it at the time of her Vesta. Ikadamrila, others, however, say, Hachikamle. What he was trying to say was like this. Tama de Rasa. Only because she had a Ria, that's why we take this strict approach. Holoi Rasa, were she not have a Ria? And Chashim, we would not be concerned. Alma, obviously, he is of the opinion, the Vestas de Rabbanim. But, the Rishonim point out, we're learning here a very Bechidish. As I said, if you hold Vestas to Rabbanim, and the Vesta passed, and they did a Bedika and she's fine, great. But what the Gemara here is saying is, that if when she examines herself, she turns out that she did find herself that she had a discharge, even if you hold Vestas to Rabbanim, we make a Tamei Lemafreya from the time of a Vesta. Interesting question. When we say, especially according to the man, the Amid that holds, Vestas to Raisa, that we say she was Tamei from the time of her Veset, doesn't mean that we have to be choshed, we have to be concerned that the dam came from the time of the Veset, but we can't say with sureness that that's when the dam came. Or, the Veset's Daraisa teach us that we take it with a certainty that she was Tamei from the time of the Veset. What would be the Nafkamina? A very important Nafkamina. When would she start counting her days? If we say that the halacha of Vestas Daraisa tells us that she was certainly Tamei from the time of a Veset, so that's when the count begins. If it's only a chash, then the count only begins when we know for sure she had a Riyah. Continues the Gemara, Itma, Isha Sheesh La Veset, Vigia Shas Festival Batka, the time of the Veset came and she did not do an examination during the Veset, or Psai Batka, and then ultimately she does do a Bedika, Amarav, Batka Matzav Tameya. If she indeed finds herself Tamei, she's Tamei. It's obviously a clear indication that her dam came. But if she's clean, we're not concerned about the Veset. Shmuel, on the other hand, holds, Afila Batka Matzav Tahira, even if she does this examination now and turns out to be fine, Nami Tameya. The Halacha considers her Tamei because we have to assume that Arich Bismanaba. And therefore, even though she doesn't find anything, we're certain that something did come at the time of the Vest, and it just was washed away. So, says the Gemara, it seems that the most plausible way of explaining the machloikus of Rav and Shmuel is over the issue that we're discussing today. Lema bevestus kamifigli. The mass of the Raisa. Shmuel is the opinion the Vestas of the Raisa. And therefore, even if she didn't find them, after her Vest passed, she's still going to be considered Tamei. Rav, who's lenient, holds because Vestas is only the Rabbanan. So if she did now an examination, and she finds herself to be fine, then we don't have to be Machmer. But we do see here, point out to Rishonim, that even the man, the Omer, that holds Vestas the Rabbanan, and is much more lenient, will agree that you have to do Bedika. You can't just say Vestas the Rabbanan and the Bedika is not required. Rav Zeir, no. We do not have to say that the Machlokes in Rav and Shmuel is about Vestas Daraisa de Rabbanim. Rather, says Rav Zeir, the Kula Alma, Vestas Daraisa. Everybody could agree that the Vestas are Daraisa. So what is the Machlokes in Rav and Shmuel? Kansha Batgatma Kishiv Eset. And there is no Machlokes. Kansha Batgatma Kishiv Eset. Kansha Batgatma Kishiv Eset. Here she examined herself immediately after the Veset, and therefore since she immediately was bodik herself, and she found herself to be clean, even if you hold Vestas the Raisa, we could be lenient. But she didn't do the Bedika immediately, we have to be Machmer. So Mefarshim asks that we've learned in previous sugyas that it's impossible to really do a Bedika immediately. It's physically impossible. So how could the Gemara say we're speaking about a case where it was a Bedika done immediately, where it can't physically be done? First, we'd say very nice teretz. Why have we said that a bedika cannot be done immediately? Because we explained that a bedika requires churim v'sedakim, and it's impossible to do that bedika immediately. It takes time to do that bedika. The bedika of a vessel doesn't require churim v'sedakim, because the dam is coming, and kinuach itself will show us what she is or isn't. Interesting psak of the Prisha. The Prisha says a woman who has a veset, and during the time of a veset, washed herself, took a shower, took a bath, she can never be tahor under any circumstances. Why? Because we need to be concerned that there was a riya, but the water of the shower of the bath washed that away. There are paiskim that are mekel. Furthermore, very interesting machloikus ha-paiskim, where you have a woman that has a veset, kavua, as we're learning. Now, a veset kavua could be drilled down even further. Some women have a veset kavua, you can limit it to an hour, a certain time during the day. But most women, even if they have a veset kavua, it's not that so precise that it happens at a specific time. So if a woman has her veset at a specific time, so she has to do bedika at that time. But what's the halacha if a woman has a day that she has her day of a veset, but she doesn't know exactly what time of the day she's going to have a riyah? So what should she do? There are paiskim that say that she has to use a moich tachuk. Chav Stas paskins that way. Chaznish is more lenient. It says that she should just do a number of bedikas during the course of the day, and then she'll feel fine. Om Rav Sheshes, continues Rav Sheshes in saying, this issue about vestis, ketanoi, is actually my colleague's tanoim. Rav Eliezer Omer, tamei nida, if the vestis passed, she's tamei. Rishuma tibodik, she should do an examination, and if she's fine, she's not tamei. Suggest the Gemara, that this also is a different, connected to a different machloikis tanoim. Vahani tanoi, kani tanoi. The Tanya, Remeya Omer, Tamei Nida. Once the veset passed, she's Tamei Nida. The Chom Maimrim, Tibadek, she has to do an examination, and if she turns out to be clean, we're not concerned. Omer Abaya says, Abaya Afanana Mitanina. We actually could bring a raya that this is the opinion of Remeya, the Tanan, and we've quoted this opinion of Remeya previously. It's a Mishnah on the Aflamet Tesem and Aleph. The Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, the Aflamet Tesem and Aleph, Remeya Omer, Remeya says, Im Hoysa B'machpa, if the woman was in hiding, V'giyah Shas Vesta, and the time of a Vesta comes, V'loi Botka, and she didn't do an examination, Tahira. She's still Tahira. Why, explains Remeya, Shecharodim Masalekas is Adamim. Because the physical, the mental situation, that she's in the status of fear, causes Hadam to go away. Makes the Gemara the Diyak, Tamadik a Charada. Only because she's in this specific situation where she's in a state of fear, that's why we're not worried about the Veset. Ha, like a Charada, were that not to be the case, the halacha would be that Tameya, I'm a Vestas Deraisa. So all the Rishonim asked the obvious question. They asked the question, all this Mara says is that because she's in a state of Charada, her dam is gone. But who says if she's not in a state of Charada, she's Tamei? Maybe the halacha is that if she's not in a state of Charada, so she should do a Bedika. Because as we've been explaining in our shir, even the Mandamer who holds Vestas the Rabbonon agrees a Bedika has to be done. So how's that a raya? Maybe what Remei is saying is that if she's Charada, even Bedika is not necessary. And if she's not Charada, then Bedika is necessary, but not that she's Tamei. So I saw two turutim to this question. One teretz is the wording of Hadomim, not just Domim, but the wording Hadomim seems to indicate that she's going to be Tamei no matter what. Another teretz, that's Tosfos teretz, the Ramban's teretz, is that the raya from that Mishnah is not from the words that are being quoted in our Gemara, but rather from the words that precede what Remei says in that Mishnah. Because if you look at the Mishnah, that Flamet Tesem and Aleph, the Mishnah says, Higiyah Shas Festival Leibotka, says the Mishnah, I raise it to Meya. So we see that she's considered full-fledged Tamei, because Vestas the Raisa. Of course, the obvious question on this Teretz is, if that's the Raya, so our Gemara, Ike Chosim and Asefer, hasn't brought down the main point. So as our Gemara has been saying, that the question of Vestas Daraisa de Rabbonin is actually Machloikis Tanum, Machloikis Amarun. Says the Gemara, Maybe the Tanoim that we're going to learn in this Braisa also argue over this issue. The Tanan, if a woman has a wound in her makar, in her womb, and dam comes out, Shimon Gamliel says that she's tahar. Rabbi Omer, if this is a woman or veset, chasheshes levesta. We have to be concerned that the dam also includes dam nida from the veset. So as the Rishonim explain, when we have this issue that's being discussed in this braisa, that a woman has a mak in the makar, and then she has a discharge, the only case that we're discussing is where the woman, in a highly unlikely situation, could say with certainty that the dam that's being discharged came from the wound. But if she can't say with certainty that that's where the dam is, then she certainly told me, there's no machlokes. Because otherwise it doesn't make any sense, the Rishonim explained. Does it mean that a woman who has a makkah will never have become a nida? Doesn't make any sense. Here we're speaking about a case where the woman is saying that she knows the dam comes from that makkah. Furthermore, the Rishonim and the Paiskim all say that this isn't relevant bizman hazeh. Because we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, still in this parak, Bezer Hashem Yisbarach, the halacha that there are different damim, different colors that a woman is tamei yatar, and you could, and an expert could determine if the dam is from being a nida or the dam is from a wound. We don't have that ability, so it doesn't make a difference. So the Gemara is suggesting that my labah hokamufki. What is the machlokes of Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel? The mass of a Rebbe is of the opinion bestus deraisa. And therefore, even if she could attribute the dam to her makkah, but if there was a veset, and for sure something comes out by the veset, that's why we make a tamei. Or my sover, whereas if Shimon Gamliel holds veset rabbanon, so if she could attribute the dam to the makkah, we say that's where the dam is from and has nothing to do with dam neither. Says the Gemara, Amar Ravina Loi. The kula alma, everybody could be agreeable that vestas are only the rabbanon. So what is the machloikis in this rice about? Says the Gemara, "V'hochem makar mekayim etamik amifki." If dam that comes from the makar, it's dam makar, not dam nida. Does that make the woman tar? Rav Shimon Gamliel saw isha tahira. The dam tami the ka'asa derech makar. The woman remains tahar. V'amalei Rebbe, ichash leveset isha nami tveya. V'loichash leveset makar mekayim etar. The question that's being debated, says the Gemara, if dam that comes through the makar, even though it's not from dam nida, does that make the woman tamei? Rav Shimon Gamliel says yes, and Rebbe says not. So Mefarshim ask, why would the dam of a makar in the makar make a woman tamei? Why would it make a woman tamei? It's not dam nida. And you could ask the question even better. It's tumas beis hastarim. It's a place that's concealed. We know that tumah doesn't come from a beis hastarim. Furthermore, tumah, if it's not dam nida tumah, is not metama unless there was a revius dam. So the Gemara should have said you need a revius dam. So I saw two approaches in the Mefarshim to answer that question. One approach is that's halach l'mashma Sinai. That just like dam nida that comes from the makar is metama, so too is dam maka. Another pshat is that it's not the dam that's tamei, it's the makar that's tamei. And any dam that comes in contact with the makar becomes tamei. So it doesn't make a difference if it's dam nida that comes in contact with the makar, or it's dam makar that comes in contact with the makar. That's what makes tumah. Says the Mishnah. And just a word of introduction. We're going to learn the Mishnah and the Gemara by Ezra Hashem Yisbarach with the pshat of Rashi. With the pshat of Rashi. There are Rishonim that debate Rashi's pshat, but we're going to learn Rashi's pshat. According to Beis Shammai, if a woman has multiple bias in one night, before and after every bia, she has to examine herself. Or if she doesn't have enough cloths to examine herself, then she's going to be reusing the cloth to shamshlar, and then she has to do bia by the candlelight so she could examine it. So as Rashi explains, two bedikas are required. One bedika at the beginning, according to Beis Shammai, before and after each bedika, before and each after each bia, with a new cloth. According to Beis Hillel, one bedika at the beginning of the night and one at the end of the night. There are two problems that the Rishonim ask with Rashi. One is that we learned earlier that hatsnus, that only the especially pious women use the new cloth before the bia. And here we're learning that every woman is supposed to use a new cloth before the bia, according to Beis Shammai. How do we understand Rashi? So one pshat that the Mefarshim suggest is that Rashi will hold that Beis Shammai disagrees, and everybody needs new cloths, not just snus. Another pshat is that Rashi is not focused on the cloth before the bia. The cloth after the bia needs to be a new cloth. So that's why he speaks about Chadosh, but he agrees that the first cloth doesn't have to be new. That's Rashi's pshat. As I said, the Rishonim that disagree with Rashi, Tosfos takes the approach. One more kasha on Rashi before we go into Tosfos. He says, according to Rashi, he's supposed to do a bia after the last, a bedika, according to Beis Hillel, after the last bia. How's a woman to know it's the last bia? Therefore, Tosfos has a whole different pshat. And Tosfos' pshat is that you do a bedika before, you do a bedika according to Beis Shammai before and after each bia. And according to Beis Hillel, you do a bedika at the beginning and the end of the night. Tana Rabbanan begins the Gemara. Api Shamra Mishamsh Mitosul Ora Ner. Even though we know, we'll discuss this more in tomorrow's shiur, that one who has relations in a lit room, hareza meguna, it's considered disgusting. Yet in our Mishnah we learned that Beis Shammai says that a bedikah should be done before in each tashmish, or to shamish lor haner. So we have a problem. How could that be done if you're not supposed to do bia that way? It's interesting, as I said a moment ago, the Gemara is not going to focus on it until later. A bedika before, at the beginning of the night, at the end of the night. Tanya, Amlam Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, ask Beis Shammai to Beis Hillel, Lidavreichem, according to you, that a bedika is done only, that a bedika is only done at the end of the night, why not be concerned? Maybe there was a small discharge during the first bia. And then the second bia covered it up with the shechvazer, with the semen. You who don't require a separate bedika, why are we not concerned for that? So the Mefarshim ask, how could Beis Shammai be concerned about this? Isn't Beis Shammai the man the Omer that we learned at the beginning of Masechta that says that dam doesn't remain? And the dam always gets expelled. And that's what Beis Shammai hold. First Beis Shammai v'amasecht of Da Yishata. So one shot that I saw is that Beis Shammai was addressing Beis Hillel, saying, according to your opinion, why not be concerned? Another shot that I saw is that here, Beis Shammai is concerned about a small amount of dam that could indeed be held in the system and not be expelled. Another interesting teretz that I saw is that the Masechta didn't begin with Beis Shammai. The Masechta began with Shammai. And that Shammai and Beis Shammai are not the same. So indeed, Shammai is not concerned about dam remaining there. It's Beis Shammai who's concerned. Amalei Beis Hillel. So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, according to you, afla devrechem leichesh atcha roit b'toicha peh shemekunim v'halachloi. According to you, that you're always concerned that the shechvazer, that you're now expressing a concern that the shechvazer is going to cover the dam. So even before the bedika, why not be concerned that the man did bria, the shechvazer which is coming up, covering up dam? It's a very simple answer. Here, there was only one act of bria. So there's not that much shechvazer to cover the dam. But you said, Beis Shammai to Beis Hillel, that you could do multiple bia during the night, so there's an accumulation of shechvazera that will cover up perhaps dam that's over there. Of course, the Rishonim said the Gemara could have said a different teretz. According to Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai said to Beis Hillel, if I'm going to be concerned for that, that the Shechva Zera is covering up the dam, then you can never have bia. It's an untenable situation. But my approach to do bedika after every bia is a doable approach. Tanya continues the Gemara. Amar Bishur Roya needs to Beis Shammai. I agree with Beis Shammai. Amalai Talmidov. So his Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, kama harachta lenu. You make life difficult that a bedika has to be done before in each bia. Amalim. So he said to them, Mutav sh'ach lechem ba'olam hazeh. It's better that I should make it a little tough for you in this world. Kedei she'erichu yamechem la'olam haba, that you shouldn't chas v'sholem come to be ba'ol anita. Amrav Zera, medirei kulam nilmat. But what it seems, everybody will agree that Baal Nefesh lo yivav yishna. Because all Beis Hillel is saying is, explained the Rishonim, is that if you'll do a bedika at the beginning of the night, and then you'll do a bedika at the end of the night, you'll know her status. And you'll know if she became Tomei or not. But certainly Beis Hillel, and Beis Shammai goes without question, are agreeing that we need to be concerned that the bee is, that the multiple bees, or the bees, that by every bee she maybe became Tomei. And if she became Tomei during the first bee, and then you do a second bee, you're doing bee with Anita. Rav Amar, the Rav says, and that's the halacha, the boil of shine. You could do multiple bees. For says Rav, ki tanya hi, when our Mishnah says that you have to do all of these bedikas, it's only as we've been learning l'taharis. But our bedikas that are only done because of Hilchas Nida don't require multiple bedikas. And says the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hachi, so too do we actually learn in Ebraisa, that when do these multiple bedikas have to be done? Only l'taharis. Aval l'bala, if it's just in order that she should not be considered a Nida, not be allowed to have relations with the husband, Mataris, we don't have to do these multiple bedikas. Furthermore, says the Ebraisa, Umad Bar Murim, Shenich becheskes tahara, ava nich becheskes tameya, la'olam becheskosa atcha amar taherani. So the Rishonim ask, what does this have to do with what we're learning? So Rishonim say, very nice pshat. Here, the Braisa taught us a tremendous kula, that a husband could do multiple bias in one night and not need to be concerned. So we would think that we should be makel in all questions. Teaches us the Braisa, no, that a woman who has a cheskes tameya, we can't have relations until she says taherani. Continues the Gemara. Amar Abba Amar Chibar Ashi Amar Rav. Bot Gebeid V'Avad. If the Bedika was done and then it got lost, Asur L'Sham Shesh Tivdek. They can't have relations until she does a Bedika again. Maskul of Rav Ila asks Rav Ila on this, Ila Isa, if the aid would be here, Mila M'Shamsha, could she not continue doing Bedikas? Vafagav D'la Yoda, because she only looks at them in the morning. So hashtanami to shamish. So here too, she should be able to do bedikas, even if it got lost. Answers the Gemara, amalei rava, zu mechicha kayim, zu en mechicha kayim. You can't compare the situation where the bedika cloth is here, where the bedika cloth is here, where even though now it's not being examined, because according to Beis Hillel, you only do one bedika at the end of all the at the end of all bees. And even according to Beis Shammai, as we learned in the Mishnah, if she has enough cloths, she does a bedika before and after every bia, and then at the end of the night, and then the next day she'll examine all of those cloths, but at least they're here to be examined versus when you don't have it available to you. Goes back to Gemara to what we discussed on the top of the Amid. Amar Yochanan, Asl Adam Shishamish Mitas B'Yoyim. A person is not allowed to have relations by the day. My Kro, what is the pasuk that teaches this? Shnema Yavijoyim Oilid by Eiv says the day that I was born should have been lost. Velaila Oma Havagara, and the night that I was conceived. Says Eiv, from here we learn, Laila Nitin Lihiroyan, at night is when conception should take place, and therefore relations should take place at night. Vyoim Lay Nitin Lihiroyan, but not during the day. Vishlokish Amahacha, Boizid Rach of Yumas. Somebody who has relations during the day is acting in a not nice way. Why is it not nice? Because he could see his wife and she may have a flaw. So at night you don't see. By day you could see. And as the Aruch HaNer explains, what's the nafkamina between these two pshatim? There are a number of nafkaminas. If the isr is because you can't, night is for pregnancy, then night is for pregnancy, so then she should only have relations by, then only by a person who get pregnant should have relations by night. But let's say it's a woman who's nursing or pregnant already, or a woman who's old and can't get pregnant, you could have relations by day. If the issue, however, is the bezoyin, it makes no difference day or night. Another nafkamina is, let's say it's during the day, but it's a dark room. If the issue is because of the bezoyin, so there's no bezoyin, it's a dark room. We'll speak about that more tomorrow. If the issue is that pregnancy only could happen at night, so then even if it's a dark room by day, bezoyin shouldn't take place. Ask the Gemara. Rish Lakish high krod Rabbi Yochanan, my darish bay. What does Rish Lakish do with the pasuk that Rabbi Yochanan uses? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, the darish of Chanina Bapapa. The darish of Chanina Bapapa. Oysa malach hamamun al hiroyin. The malach who's appointed to make, who charge a pregnancy, lay l'shma. So Mefarshim ask that we know that the Gemara says that, Gemara Masech the Tainis, that there are three mafteches that a Kodesh Baruch Hu kept by himself. And here it's, and one of them is pregnancy. And here it says that there's a malach. So a number of terutzim. One teretz says the Gemara there means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give a malach all three keys, but one key he could give him. Another teretz is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of the later, the labor, the childbirth, but not the pregnancy. Simplest teretz is that the malach is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's lieutenant to carry out this pregnancy. V'naitel tipa, and the malach takes the tipa, ma'atel ma'amida f'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and puts it down in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'bohim el'fanim, and says to Ribbono Shloim, tipa zu ma'atehei le'a, what will be with this tipa? Gibra, chalish, strong or weak, chachma, tipesh, smart or not, asher ani, v'le rosh le'tzadik le'kama. One thing he doesn't ask, it will be a rosh or a tzadik. Why not? Kerev chanina. Damar chanina, hakob de shemayim, chutz mi'ir shemayim. Shenemar, that's what this pasuk is teaching us. Just to finish off, Rav Yochanan imkei nichta krok gever hira, my hira gever laila nitin liroyan v'liyoyim lo nitin raliyah. Continues the Gemara. No, before we go further, so here we learn the halacha ha'akol b'dei shemayim chutz mi'ir shemayim. So mefarshim discuss. There's much to say on this. First of all, there's a question in halacha. Can you give a name after a person who didn't have such an easy life? He was poor. Maybe it's a bad mazel. Some farshim say here, from this Gemara we could see that not. Because this Gemara says that every child, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a psak, if he'll be rich or poor. So by you giving the name, it doesn't make a difference. Furthermore, the Mefarshim all of course ask, we know that all of these circumstances are important to the way we live. So where's the Bechira? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says everything is already predestined. So one Teretz that the Mefarshim say is Tefillah could change everything. In fact, that's what they say. Hakol B'Dei Shemayim. When you come to Davin, you're not guaranteed that you're going to be successful in your Tefillah. Chutz! You know when you will be successful? Yerushimayim. A person who asks for Yerushimayim, he will be successful in his tefillah. Another pshat is that, indeed, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, already program everything before the person is born? Because every person has a tachlis in this world. Every person has a tachlis in this world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how we could accomplish where we were brought to this world with whatever circumstances are best for us. Mefarshim also ask, we know that we do daven for Yerushimayim, v'sein bilbeinu bina lahavim l'Yerushimecha, v'davkenu b'Yerushecha, we say in Atochan Antanu. So Chaskel Levenstein explains, those tefillahs are not tefillahs for Yerushimayim, because as Al-Gemara says, Yerushimayim is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What he says those tefillahs represent is that, again, If you live in an environment that fosters Yerushalayim, it's easier to be a Yerushalayim. If you live in an environment that isn't a good environment, it's harder to be Yerushalayim. We davent HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help us have circumstances that we should be able to grow in Yerushalayim and be able to do what we're supposed to do in this world. Dimer Yosef is a very nice pshat. Agamar says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemayim Chutz Mi Yerushalayim. Yet there's a Gemara that says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemayim Chutz Mi Tzinim HaPachim. I think it's Gemara Masechta Ksubos, which means getting sick is in your hands. So how do we understand it? So he says, beautiful pshat, Tzinim HaPachim doesn't mean cold and warm, getting sick. He says, Tzinim means cold, and Pachim means warm. You know how your Yerushalayim will be developed? If you're Tzinim, if when it comes to doing a very, you go with cold, you don't do it with enthusiasm. And when you come to do a mitzvah, you do it with Pachim, you do it with enthusiasm, that will influence your Yerushalayim. There's a beautiful story that somebody once met a Rav, Rav Hillel Kalamaya. Hillel Kalamaya asked him, so how are you? He says, Baruch Hashem, my panasa is good. So he says, that's not up to you. Panasa is not in our hands. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that decides. He says, Baruch Hashem, my children are fine. He says, that's not up to you. It's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, the only thing when I ask you, how are you, that you should be answering me about is Yerushalayim, because that's the only thing that we control. Continues the Gemara. Rav Yochanan Aikrod Rishlokish my darsh bay. He needs it for what this says of Sefer Ben Sira. Ben Sira, the Gemara teaches us, was a son of the daughter of Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah went to Bath. He admitted Zerah, and his daughter got pregnant from that, inseminated from that, and they had a child, Ben Sira, who was a big chacham. Shalosh Shanesa, three things I hate. Va'abin, the fourth thing, lo yahavti. Sar Hanagel, b'beis ha-mishtos. That's if you have a Talmud chacham who goes to a base hamishtos, who spends time, who talks too much in a bar, Vamalei, and others say, Sar Hanargan. So the first pshat is that he's there, Rogel. The second pshat is that he talks too much, Vasar Malei Sar Hanargan, he gets angry. The Mefarshim say, because that's what the Gemara says, a person could be told, could be identified, Bekoisoi, Bekisoi, Bekasoi. Vamoshu Shevis Bemroimi Keres, somebody who learns Torah publicly. So the question is, we see people learning Torah on the train all the time. So the answer to Pshatim, number one, you shouldn't give a shiur in a public place. And number two, you should learn quietly. V'arich v'amma v'ashtamayim, he holds his organ when he urinates. We spoke about it at the beginning of the parak. V'nichnas l'beis chaveri pisoim, don't go into somebody else's house suddenly. Am Reb Yochanan, v'afilu l'beisoi, don't even go into your own home without first notifying that you're coming in.